Hill 70 Quantock Ranch, where the horse to ride for your next bull purchase. 6th of February of 2021.
Yes.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Today we have our usual Friday discussion with commodity futures advisor Adam Pacallo about this week in grain markets. He says both wheat and canola are on the rise this week, canola quite significantly. We talk with Kevin Hirsch, who is the executive director of the Canary Seed Development Commission. The commission holds its annual meeting next week over the internet as part of the CropSphere event, which is only online next week due to the coronavirus. Real Agriculture talks with cattle market analyst Anne Wasco. We hear from Professor Sylvain Charlebois, who says the new federal carbon tax proposals could push up the cost of food and food production. We also hear from the chair of the Canadian Canola Growers Association, a Saskatchewan farmer, who says the new federal clean fuel standards could be very good for canola producers. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
Grain prices were showing upward movement this week. Commodity futures advisor with PI Financial, Adam Pacallo, says wheat is up over 4 cents a bushel and canola has risen $23 per metric ton.
Well, Jim, on the Minneapolis wheat March contract, we increased approximately 4.25 cents a bushel here so far this week. So the trend is looking a little bit more positive on the wheat market, but again, not maybe to the same extent as the other grains. And on canola, again, same story as every week it seems here. Canola keeps going higher day by day, week by week, up another $23 a ton approximately so far here from Monday till right now here, mid-morning. So again, the trend on canola is still up right now.
And what's pushing up wheat and the canola?
Well, on the canola front, again, a lot of supportive factors. Let's start with on the soy side of the market. You know, the soybean market, oil and meal are still all increasing in the complex there. So there has been, you know, a little less rain in Argentina, the Argentine forecast for the next 2 weeks. So the market is kind of finding support on that. And in the last three trading sessions, actually, open interest is increased on the soybean market, which shows that fund traders are still continuing to be active buyers here, even ahead of next week's supply-demand report from the USDA. And traders see U.S. ending stocks near around that 139 million bushels as compared to 175 bushels in December. So again, supportive factors for the soy markets, and that is definitely on the canola kind of front as well too.
What's dragging wheat up?
You know what? It seems that all traders, funds in particular, are buying commodities. And wheat might be garnering some attention here, given that the price it is compared to some of these other grains here. But wheat really might not have the supply fundamentals that the other grains do, like corn and beans, for there to be, you know, a very big push up like we've seen. Traders are expecting that winter wheat planted acres have increased compared to last year. So again, there's going to be some fundamentals next week on Tuesday's report to watch out for the wheat market.
So what's the outlook for next week and beyond?
Well, again, starting off on the canola side of things, the trend is still up. A lot of farms are asking me, you know, how much higher can this go? And I've been saying, you know, to you here on our show that, you know, at 600 a ton was in sight, we're past that. Then 650, you know, now we're past that. So 700, that's the trajectory right now. So is it going to get there overnight? I don't think so. But as we see that the funds are still buying. So canola trend is up. And on the wheat front, it would be nice to see wheat start to, you know, show a little bit of technical strength as well. And that's what I'm going to be watching for. And as long as the report doesn't come out with too bearish of numbers next week, you know what, we might see wheat get some legs under it.
Adam Pacallo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial.
back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
About a dozen producer organizations will be holding their annual general meetings online next Monday and Tuesday as part of CropSphere. The Canary Seed Development Commission of Saskatchewan will lead things off with a one-hour program beginning at 8:30 Monday morning. Kevin Hirsch is the organization's executive director.
Before, we've been able to have a number of speakers on agronomy and trying to access the human food market and a market outlook session. This year, because of the condensed time frame and holding it virtually, we'll run through all of the activities the commission is doing, and hopefully producers find that information interesting, and we'll have just one market outlook presentation at the end. So we go from 8:30 to 9:30 on Monday and have to get the heck done so that the next group, which is winter cereals, can come on and do their thing, and then on through the day and on through Tuesday and much of Wednesday.
Hirsch is hoping the group is ready to go with the new technology.
We'll see. It's a little disconcerting because people have become more commiserate with doing Zoom calls. Many of us have spent our lives on Zoom. Producers, maybe not so much, but you have to also figure out ways that people can vote on resolutions or present resolutions and how to do the visuals and how to get different presentations coming from different people and getting all of that coordinated. So it has been a work in progress, but everybody's working hard on it, and we hope that everybody has a little bit of patience, and we'll do the best we can starting Monday.
Hirsch explains some of the canary seed developments.
One of our biggest expenditures is supporting the variety development work at the university's Crop Development Center. They also do work on trying to find germplasm where we might get some fusarium disease resistance and some wild oat herbicide resistance. Agronomy work has been done by Bill May of Indian Head. We continue to move ahead on trying to pave the path for human food use of canary seed, and we're pleased to report that a small dehulling operation has been set up in the Herschel area, and producers can learn more about that on Monday. And it's not a large operation, but we're finally getting some dehulled canary seed, which is making some access to the human food market possible.
Grain analyst Chuck Penner will be giving a presentation.
Yes, Chuck is, we think he's the best there is as far as knowing what's going on, and especially in the specialty crops. And canary seed is looking quite favorable. The prices remain strong in that 32 cent a pound range. It really will be interesting to see, you know, with all of the other competing crops out there, many of them also looking very good price-wise, what the acreage ends up in the following year. Because really, Saskatchewan is the main game in the world as far as exporting canary seed. How much we produce really has an effect on prices, but the way things are right now, canary seed looks very favorable.
Hirsch says COVID-19 has had little impact on the canary seed market.
Nothing discernible. Canary seed being mainly for caged birds rather than wild birds, we haven't seen that as a real factor, but many of the other complementary and competing bird seeds have also seen price appreciation. So the whole tide has risen as a result, and the prices in that 30 to 32 cent a pound range for much of the past 18 months has really, I think, pulled some of those old stocks of stored canary seed out of the woodwork and change that market mentality quite a bit.
Farmers can register for the online event.
You just go to sascrops.com. All of the crop organizations, including the CropSphere folks and the Crop Production Week folks, are all cooperating to put this together. So just go to sascrops.com, and you can register either as an observer or as a registered producer for each of the meetings or the market outlooks. It's going to be one link. You just join it whenever you want during the day, and we hope that producers find it.
Kevin Hirsch is the executive director of the Canary Seed Development Commission of Saskatchewan.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update brought to you by the Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at canolaschool.com. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147. It's time for a beef market update with Ann Wasco of the Gateway Livestock Exchange. Ann, how are you doing today?
Good afternoon.
Hey, listen, early days of 2021, but what do we make of the first week of January and what happened in the beef markets?
Well, kind of a slow start, but that's not all that unexpected. Last week, we did see U.S. trade kind of in that 112 area. They are looking for more money this week, and probably we'll get it. We'll watch and see. But, I guess the other thing is a year ago, we were trading in the mid-120s, right? So prices are, not moving kind of the direction we were hoping fast enough. But futures are telling us it's coming. Here in Alberta, kind of 242 is the last bid. Feedlots are looking for 245. Last week, average around 144. So kind of just hovering in just a wee bit above where we would have finished off before Christmas. And in Ontario, there was some trade earlier this week at 232. So again, certainly recoveries after getting Guelph back up and running again. But markets are kind of just in a quiet space, and feeder markets really won't get going until next week.
So if we kind of divide the year ahead into positives and challenges, let's kind of look at the challenges first here. Is the drought that we're seeing in the western half of North America and supply of cattle, are those the two things that kind of lead the charge?
Well, I think for truly first, you still have to put the pandemic, first charge, right? So we still have a lot of uncertainty, day-to-day uncertainty, futures markets responding to, news one day about COVID cases and then the next day about vaccine rates. And so I still think you have to put that as charge number one, just because from a packing plant, whether we see any further disruptions there or on the food supply, whole chain in terms of COVID cases and impacts there. So that still has to be, kind of one of the main challenges that I think is still out there. But as we move into the spring and further into the summer, there's no question weather and drought conditions are going to play into it. How much does it affect the U.S. cow herd in terms of does it start to move into some areas that have a lot of cow numbers? We already are expecting smaller calf crop. Well, there was a smaller calf crop last year in the U.S. and Canada, and again in 2021. Is it even smaller than we're expecting? So that becomes a more friendly figure, I think, as we get into the second half of 2021.
Okay, and feed costs too. I get, they're a challenge in the sense if you place cattle and didn't have your feed costs locked in, but if the price of feeder cattle don't go down, the rising feed costs really do put you a bit of a bind from a feeder perspective.
Yeah, so it's going to be certainly an interesting push me pull me kind of market. So we know feeder cattle supplies are, once we get through this first quarter, are going to be smaller. Just because the cow herd's smaller. But on the flip side of it, as you just said, feed grain prices continue to go the other direction. and as that happens, that, of course, becomes a factor in, trying to push feeder cattle prices lower. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But at this point in time, with where we see, barley prices for spring and summer already in Lethbridge, those kind of buyers are going to be looking at that one pretty closely, because as they go up, obviously, how cattle are fed or what is fed in the feedlot, light cattle versus heavy cattle, cattle staying at grass longer, all those kinds of things could shift in 2021 a little bit in terms of when they get placed on feed and then therefore when they're available for market. So it'll be, I think at this point in time, a different year in terms of, all of those pieces and what we saw, especially in 2020.
Okay, so it may force the feed yard into being maybe getting a little bit creative or doing some different things than they typically would do in terms of their program, when and what weights they bring cattle in at.
Yeah.
Okay, Ann, great. Really appreciate you joining us here this week. All the best to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, Sean. You too.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your Agri Weather Forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. Sunny sky today, winds up to 15 kilometers per hour. The high today, minus 5. Fog patches developing after midnight. The low, minus 16. Saturday, mainly sunny. Fog patches dissipating in the morning. Winds up to 15 K. The high, minus 6 tomorrow. Wind chill, minus 22 tomorrow morning. Minus 10 in the afternoon. The low, minus 13. Sunday, sunny with a high, minus 3. The low, minus 14. Monday, sunny. The high, minus 2. The low, minus 7. Tuesday, sunny, the high plus 3, the low minus 4. Wednesday, sunny, the high plus 2, the low minus 4. Thursday, partly cloudy, the high near 0. Normal high is, for this date, minus 11 degrees. The normal low, minus 23. The sun rose at 8:57 this morning. It sets at 5:13 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Maple Creek in the southwest corner at plus 3. The cold spot up north, Stony Rapids, minus 18 this hour. Estevan, minus 9. Saskatoon, minus 8. Swift Current is 0. Weyburn, minus 10. Yorkton, minus 8. Regina, sunny and minus 11. That's 12 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the south at 8. Humidity, 90%. The barometer dropping, 103.3. Sunny in Moose Jaw, minus 5. Winds are from the east-southeast at 9. Once again, Regina, sunny and minus 11, that's 12 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
Hey everybody, it's Ted Creech here from Hill 70 Quantock Ranch in Lloydminster, Alberta. On the 6th of February of 2021, I'd like to invite everybody to our 51st annual Barn Burner Bull Sale starting at 12 noon. Now we'll sell approximately 400 bulls consisting of red and black Angus, horn and pulled Herefords, red and black Sim Angus, Charlet and red Balancer bulls, plus 100 bred and open commercial females to round out the day. Now don't be afraid to get in touch with us. Either call myself, Connor, or Bill at 1-800-665-7253.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. A major shift in policy. That's what many farm groups are saying about the federal government's announcement last month. It's going to boost the federal carbon tax to $170 a ton before the end of the decade. Many Saskatchewan farm groups have condemned the decision, saying it will put them out of business. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, a professor of food analytics at Dalhousie University, says the announcement will have a long-term effect on both farmers and consumers.
Well, it was more of a surprise, really. It came out of nowhere, and really, with all the noise generated by COVID and the vaccine, I think few people noticed. It just went through, and to me, that was a major shift in policy, just because, well, to go from 50 to 170 is a huge jump, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I know that farmers have actually blamed the carbon tax for higher food prices at retail. That argument has always remained a bit weak, just because we've seen provinces with a $50 a metric ton carbon tax in both BC and Quebec, for example. It's been around for well over a decade. And it, based on our analysis here at the lab, we didn't see prices behaving abnormally compared to other provinces. So it was very difficult to blame the carbon tax. But at $170 a metric ton, that's a huge jump. And certainly when I saw that, I became concerned about two elements of the supply chain, farmers and consumers. Farmers, of course, because they don't have much, they don't have many options. They need to use propane, for example, in grain to dry out their harvest. And for a 5,000 acre farm, you're looking at a $150,000 tax bill. That's huge. And on the consumer side, it's very hard to see how this tax at $170 won't impact food prices over the long term.
The federal government is expected to provide some farm programs to help producers this year reduce greenhouse gases But can it be enough for the higher taxation rates?
I don't know. First of all, the rhetoric around the $50 a metric ton tax was already ambiguous and unclear. For example, time and time again, the government has stated that this measure is revenue neutral. Again, it's hard to see that because, of course, people are given credits based on how much they make and where they live. But again, it's you really need to go into the numbers to see that really, at the end of the day, people are going to be paying more than what the government is actually giving back to provinces and to individuals when they file their tax return. So at some point you got to accept the fact that a tax is a tax, and we have to pay the real cost of things when it comes to the environment. I think the carbon tax is a good measure. We need to act now. We have some issues. Climate change is a real problem, is a real challenge for everyone, including for farmers. But at the end of the day, really, you could impact the competitiveness of a very important sector, which is agriculture, because in other countries, well, they're not looking at the same tax. They're not looking at implementing a carbon tax, although the Biden-Harris administration will endorse the Paris Agreement, but doesn't mean that they'll go ahead with a carbon tax the way that Canada is doing right now.
That's Dr. Sylvain Charlebois at Dalhousie University in Halifax.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. The Canadian Canola Growers Association sees potential in Ottawa's new proposed clean fuel standard. The federal proposals indicate canola oil could be used as an extender in diesel from the current 2% to as much as 11% by the year 2030. Canadian Canola Growers Association Chair Bernie McLean of Glasslyn says more details are needed, but the potential to increase domestic demand for canola oil looks very good.
We're still working on some of the details and trying to get that ironed out. So I don't have a specific number. Some of the numbers that have been mentioned out there has been as much as an 11% inclusion. The industry, the canola industry, have been looking for at least a 5% mandate, so an increase from 2% to 5%. But I guess the current format of the clean fuel standard maybe suggests that there might be more opportunity than that. And again, we're still working on trying to understand that in depth.
Do you know any kind of timeline when they plan to increase it?
Well, I don't think it'll be a specific increase. It's more incentive, right?
But you expect it to increase and could have the potential to create domestic demand for canola equivalent to the export market of Japan?
There is that kind of an opportunity with how it potentially looks. And again, we are, our staff in the office is still digging into the numbers and trying to understand it to the nth degree or to its fullest depth, I guess.
Sounds like pretty good upside, though, for canola to be used for biodiesel. I understand they do that in Europe already.
Oh, absolutely. And there is biodiesel in Canada. Like I say, the current mandate, and that was maintained in the clean fuel standard, is currently at 2%. There's potential for more, and there's potential for newer technologies. So biofuels, biodiesel is one aspect of it that canola can be used, or HDRD, which is hydrogen-derived renewable diesel. There's definitely opportunity here. And, the clean fuel standard, we obviously still have some concerns, and the release kind of addresses some of that. We're still, again, trying to dig to understand it fully. But there is some small positives here and potential for increased use domestically of canola that takes away from some of the market or trade barriers that we've been experiencing, and a value-added product that we can use right here at home.
Outline some of those concerns that you have. Just what are they?
Well, again, towards the bottom of the release there, if you have it handy, it talks about the aggregate compliance or the land use and biodiversity criteria. And again, we're still working on getting into the full details and understanding that fully. I certainly couldn't suggest that we understand it to the degree that we need to yet. So certainly some concerns there.
Yeah, concerns I understand around verification and certification of the canola that you grow and that kind of thing. It must be some environmental regulations they're worried about.
Correct. And you know, if it's using whole farm aggregate aggregate data, it's established. We certainly are not advocating for in-depth and on-farm type audits and more paperwork for producers. So again, we don't have all of the answers in detail that we're looking for there yet, but hope to have that soon.
I understand there's a period to comment on these proposed clean fuel standard regulations, and it closes, what, March 4th?
Correct, yes. And, you know, I think that speaks to some of our lobby efforts here. As I understand, once it goes into Canada Gazette 1, typically it was kind of a done deal. They've recognized, and you know, it probably speaks to a lot of our lobby efforts over the last couple of years here, to the fact that they allowed more time for consultation after Canada Gazette 1, which was released, I believe it was December 18th, if I remember right. So yeah, now we have until March 4th to again try to get into the and understand all the details, and then submit a response to that.
Bernie McLean of Glasslyn is the chair of the Canadian Canola Growers Association.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Scott Bjornson of Hollis Wealth. For more information or to book a free consultation, call 1-800-284-9999. And Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Viterra prices were mixed in early trading today. Canola gained $6.90 at $6.19.87. Number one red spring wheat fell 71 cents at $2.53.90. The rest were unchanged. Durum, $2.99.46. Feed barley, $2.34.70. Flax, $6.93.37. Lentils, $5.72.50. Oats, $2.25.53. Yellow peas, $340.39. Feed wheat, $183.72. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange this morning, March red spring wheat was unchanged at $6.03.25 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Report on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. And now the latest livestock quotes.
Heartland Livestock's Moose Jaws. First regular sale of 2021 is on Thursday, January 14th. First pre-sort of 2001 is January 19th. Lots of good quality calves listed for that one. On our Thursday DLMS sale, we sold 67 top-end Charlet steers. For TL Farms, they're out of Stony Beach, 915 at 178.75. The Simmental cross steers, 67 of them bring at 905, bring 175.75. And then the good Charlet heifers from TL Farms again at Stony Beach, 856 at 166. This is Grant Barnett reporting. Let's have a great afternoon.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices for both the Brandon and Moose Jaw plants today, $148.74 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report. New merchandise export sales for November from Saskatchewan show the province had sales up by 12.6% compared to the previous November. The Saskatchewan government says the number is the highest percentage increase among the provinces and more than double the increase from the second closest province. Nationally, exports were down 2.5%. The value of exports in November was $2.7 billion. Trade and Export Development Minister Jeremy Harrison says the growth is truly remarkable and shows that the world continues to need what Saskatchewan has to offer. In the first 11 months of 2020, exports were up in Saskatchewan by 3.3% compared to a national decline of 13%. Saskatchewan was also first among the provinces year-to-date and one of only two provinces to see an increase rather than a decrease. Major increases in exports were led by farm and intermediate food products. On the markets, Canada's main stock index edged back below 18,000 in midday trading as mining stocks flagged, leaving the TSX Composite Index below yesterday's record close despite an uptick in U.S. stock markets. The TSX Composite Index was down 30 points at 17,996. In New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 12 points at 31,053. The Canadian dollar traded at 78.80 cents U.S. compared with 78.70 cents Thursday. The February crude oil contract was up 85 cents to $51.68 per barrel. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Hill 70 Quantock Ranch, the place to be for your next bull purchase. Mark the right date, February 6, 2021. Call 1-800-665-7253 anytime, any day. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
Hill 70 Quantock Ranch, where quality comes in quantity, on the 6th of February of 2021. Be welcome to join us for our annual bull sale.